Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I'm happy to be with you. I pray that this program will be profitable to you and in the search for a deeper relationship with God. I call this program Talks from the Bible because I will use the Bible. The Bible is my manual of faith. The Bible is what I strive to preach. I believe the Bible to be the truth of God. I encourage you to listen weekly to these broadcasts, and I pray that they might be profitable to you. As we begin today, we look at 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This epistle to the Thessalonians is written by Paul, the apostle. Paul has been called of God to be an apostle. He is a proclaimer of the truth of God. His purpose and his mission following his conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ was to preach Christ and proclaim the truth of God. As Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he addresses this epistle unto the church of the Thessalonians. He declares with emphasis that the church is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, God and the Lord Jesus Christ have a dual union. God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Lord. The church is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul further says, grace and peace unto you. The blessings of grace and peace are found in the church. The church is essential to the spiritual well-being of humanity. The church is essential for our relationship with God. We become the church. As we read this epistle to the Thessalonians, we notice that the church is identified as the elect of God. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Paul, as he writes to the church, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, addresses those who will read this epistle first as brethren and then as the elect of God. They were brethren because they had received the election of God. The word elect is used to describe those who are chosen of God, those who have been called by God. All individuals throughout the world have the opportunity to become the elect of God, because it is the design, the desire, and the will of God that all men everywhere be saved. They were the elect of God. They had received an election. Colossians 3 and verse 12addresses those saints who dwelt in this city of Colossae as the elect of God, chapter 3 and verse 12. They were saints in chapter 1, verse 1. They are the elect of God in chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, there is a connection between sainthood and election. We are elected of God. We are chosen of God to salvation. 1 Peter 1 and verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. As Peter writes this epistle to those who are going to read it, after they receive it, have bestowed upon them the blessings of grace and peace. These were the blessings which were bestowed upon the Thessalonians. Grace and peace are blessings which are bestowed to the church. Therefore, as Peter writes this epistle, he first identifies them as the elect, and then he declares the blessings bestowed upon them as the elect of grace and peace. If we connect 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 1 and 1 Peter 1 and verse 2, we have the church as the elect who receive the blessings of grace and peace through God the Father. Peter says that they were the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. God has foreknowledge. God knows before every situation, every event, every action of human life. As we consider Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through 32, we see that God had foreknowledge of man's descent into sin. God knew that man was going to sin even before man sinned, and therefore he had an eternal plan even before the foundation of the world to save humanity through the church. Those who would be chosen of God, called of God, the elect of God, would become the church, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were the elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit. Paul identifies those who have received the sanctification of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2 as the church and calls them saints. Therefore, when an epistle is addressed to the saints, as is the epistle to the Ephesians and the epistle to the Colossians, they are the elect. The Thessalonians had received the election of God. They had become the elect through the foreknowledge of God and sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. They had to obey. We have to obey God. We have to receive the election that God chooses to bestow upon us. We have to choose, decide through obedience to become the church and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus shed His blood on the cross. That blood is our redemption, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. Through that blood we are washed from sins, Revelation 1 and verse 5. Therefore, we are the church, the elect of God. The elect of God are chosen by the gospel. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 5 through 6. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. The gospel had come to the Thessalonians, not only in word, but also in power. During the early days of Christianity, just after Jesus had been resurrected from the grave and had ascended into heaven, there was the bestowal of power upon the apostles. That power came through the Holy Spirit. They were able to confirm the word or establish the truthfulness of the word, Hebrews 2 and verse 4, by the various miracles which they performed. This is the power of which Paul speaks in verses 5 and 6. The word had come unto them, the gospel, also in the power of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. They could be assured as they saw Paul and those others who came with him working the various miracles that they performed, healing the sick, the blind, the maimed. Then they could have assurance that the gospel which was preached was indeed the word of the Lord. They had become followers of that word. They had obeyed that word. They had received that word. This is how we become the elect and are chosen of God. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, Paul would say, "Wherefore he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." We obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, where we are called by the gospel, and we are able to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember those blessings of grace and peace bestowed upon the church, bestowed upon the elect of God. God calls us by the gospel. The gospel is the message of eternal redemption that has been given to humanity through God and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let us consider a passage, 1 Peter 1:22 through 25. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. Pardon me. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. In these verses of Scripture, the Apostle Peter mentions the truth and obeying the truth. He mentions the incorruptible seed which lives and abides forever. The word of the Lord which endures forever. And the gospel which is preached unto you. The gospel is God's truth. The gospel is the word of the Lord. The gospel is incorruptible seed which lives and abides forever. The gospel cannot be overthrown. The gospel will not vanish. Messengers of the gospel will die. Messengers of the gospel may be killed. Messengers of the gospel may be ignored. But the truth, the word of God, the gospel, the incorruptible seed, will remain. Peter says that it lives and abides forever. And they had obeyed the truth. This is how we obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We obey the truth that we hear. The word that I am preaching to you today must be believed with much assurance, and it must be obeyed. You must receive this word so that you become the church which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that the gospel is preached. The gospel must be proclaimed. The gospel has no power unless it is preached, unless people hear it. The means that God wants the gospel to be heard is by preaching the gospel. God has manifested His word, made known His word through preaching. Titus 1 and verse 4. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 discusses the foolishness of God, which is the preaching of the gospel. To man it is foolish, but to God it is His power by which He saves the human soul. Romans 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul said that the gospel was the power of God unto salvation. And so the gospel is preached. You remember, after Jesus had been raised from the dead and had appeared with His disciples for a period of about 40 days, it is time for Him to ascend to His heavenly Father. He's going to return to the heavenly abode. The purpose of that return was so that He could be seated at the right hand of God upon the throne of David, and His kingdom would be born, and He would reign over that kingdom, which of course, as we study in Scripture and learn in Scripture, is the church. The kingdom of God is the church of God. The church of God is the kingdom of God. Jesus is the King. He sits at the right hand of God. He reigns and rules over the hearts of humanity through the church. He was given this exalted seat by God the Father, according to Ephesians 1, 18 through 23. In the church, Jesus Christ fulfills the fullness of everything. And so Jesus is gathered with His disciples, and He's going to ascend to His heavenly Father. In Mark 16:15, He gives them this charge. He says, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus wanted us to go preach. What did he want us to preach? The gospel. The gospel is identified in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, as the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is the message that we are to preach. In Acts 1, in verse 8, Jesus is with his disciples about to ascend to his Father. This is a scene that is drawn by Luke for us in Acts chapter 1. And he says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Jesus said, "I want you to be a witness of me." A witness testifies as to what he has seen and heard. These apostles had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. These apostles had heard the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore they were going to be witnesses of him. They were going into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and finally to the uttermost part of the earth. As far as the earth extends, to every creature, they were to be a witness of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8, verses 4, 5, and 12, the scripture says, "Therefore they," the church, "were scattered abroad, went everywhere, preaching the word." Everybody, all members of the church, preached the word. They were scattered by persecution. You remember Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 1, 4, and 5, they had received the word in much affliction. People were persecuting the church. Paul, the apostle, before he became an apostle, before he was converted to Christ, persecuted the church. He was a persecutor, a blasphemer. He injured the church according to his own testimony found in 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 15. And so they went everywhere preaching the word. Persecution did not stop them from preaching the gospel. Persecution did not hinder them from preaching the gospel. They simply went other places preaching the gospel. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. What is the gospel? It is the preaching of Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Read the second chapter of Acts and read that great sermon that Peter preached. And he preaches concerning the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter proclaimed Christ. And so Philip has gone to Samaria and he's preaching Christ. This is the charge that the Lord gave him. The gospel is preached. In verse 12, they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Philip preached Jesus Christ and he preached the kingdom of God. And so the gospel is preached. When the gospel is preached, the gospel is believed. We must believe the gospel. The gospel has no power to make us a member of the church, to provide us with the grace and peace and the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ without believing it. We must believe the gospel. The power of the gospel is lost in unbelief. The gospel is God's power to save the human soul, but that gospel is lost in unbelief. Mark 16, 16. Remember, verse 15, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." There are two classes of people in the world today. In all of the world, humanity falls into one of two classes. He falls into the class of the saved or into the class of the damned, the condemned. Every individual is either lost are saved. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. We're going to come back to baptism in a moment, but notice belief. Go preach the gospel. Believe it. What you must do is believe what is preached unto you. You must examine the scriptures to see if what you hear is indeed truth, because there is a lot of error in the world today. Every preacher who preaches does not preach from the Bible. I have heard preachers who have used their opinions, who have used their own judgments, who have talked about what they think and what they believe. Jesus said, go preach the gospel. The gospel would be revealed by the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. What was the purpose of the coming of the Holy Ghost? To provide them with the truth of God, John 14:26, John 15:26, John 16:13. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, would guide them into all truth, bring to their remembrance everything that Jesus had spoken unto them, and show them even things to come. The Bible is a revelation of God's Holy Spirit. Inspired men have spoken the truth of God. You must examine that. You must decide what the Bible teaches, what you must do to be a Christian, what you must believe to gain access, to be provided entrance into the church which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that lovely passage in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who is going to have everlasting life? He that believeth in Him. Who is going to perish? He that does not believe in Him. We must believe the gospel. Acts 8:12, Philip is in Samaria preaching Christ, the things concerning the kingdom of God. And they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. They believed what he said. And he came to them in the power of the Holy Ghost. He was able to perform those miracles that established the truthfulness of what he preached. Today, the truthfulness of what we preach is established with the Bible. That is why we use book, chapter, and verse. I tell you where the passage is that I preach to you. Talks from the Bible. I talk from the Bible. I preach the Bible. I have book, chapter, and verse. And so you are to believe what is preached. But not everybody believes. Not everybody accepts the truth of God. In Acts 28:24... Paul is preaching in Rome, and it said some believe the things which were spoken and some believe not. Sometimes people just do not believe what is spoken. The gospel must be preached. The gospel must be believed, but the gospel must be obeyed. If you become a part of the church which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, you must obey it. In 2 Thessalonians 1:8, Paul writes this passage, that Jesus is going to come again in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is preached? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not my gospel, not your gospel, not the gospel of some other individual, not the gospel of some denominational body of believers, but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what must we do with that gospel? We must believe it, but we must obey it, because Paul said that Christ will take vengeance on them that obey not the gospel. You see, the gospel tells us that Jesus died, that Jesus was buried, and that Jesus rose again. And then the gospel sets forth those conditions that we must do, upon which we must act, which we must obey, so that we can be saved. In Romans 10:16, Paul says concerning certain individuals, they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? The Old Testament prophet questioned, who believes? He was sent to preach, and he preached, but who's believing it? Is anybody believing what we're preaching? Are you going to believe what you hear, what is preached unto you? But they have not all obeyed. Not everyone has obeyed the gospel. The world is filled with lost people today. What is the purpose of this program? There are lost people. They must hear the gospel, but as you hear it, you must obey what you hear. You must receive in obedience what is preached unto you. Earlier in Romans 6 and verse 17, now Paul is writing to the church. He identifies them in verse 7 of Romans chapter 1 as the beloved of God and the elect of God. They had received this election. That means that the gospel had been preached unto them. They had believed that gospel. And in verse chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul said, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." They had heard, believed, and obeyed. And believers of the gospel were baptized. When people believed the gospel, they obeyed the gospel by being baptized. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Who do we baptize? Who are the believers? They are the taught, "And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned or condemned." Notice that passage. He believes, he's baptized, and he is saved. This is how the gospel is obeyed. Believers of the gospel are baptized into Jesus Christ. Acts 8 and verse 12, Philip in Samaria, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Baptism is a burial in water. It is an immersion, a covering in water. Romans 6, 3 through 5, Paul uses the term buried with him in baptism, and he uses the word planted together with him. In Colossians 3, 11 and 12, he speaks of baptism as a burial. It is an immersion in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. It washes away our sins, Acts 22 and verse 16. And so believers of the gospel are baptized. Have you been baptized for the forgiveness, the remission, the washing away, the purging away of your sins? Have you heard the gospel that teaches that you must be baptized into Jesus Christ so that you become the church which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ? Acts 10 and verse 48 says, "He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord." Peter is preaching to the house of Cornelius. God has sent him there. And he preaches the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, preaches the gospel. The purpose is so that they might become the elect of God, the church which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a part of the church which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ? There are a number of churches today. There are all kinds of claims of the church in the religious world. The religious world is filled with churches. But there is only one church which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul addressed this epistle to the Thessalonians, to the church which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had become the church where they received the blessings of grace and peace by becoming the election of God, having received the gospel in much assurance. The gospel is preached so that souls can hear, obey, and be saved. We are saved when we are baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God saves us, and then He places us by His divine power into a body that is called the church. Acts 2:47, "The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.